Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord, and we look to Him for His help, because if we are turned over to ourselves, we will drift downward. We have a bent toward sin and away from the Lord. And so that's why we must always be looking unto the Lord and never trusting ourselves or committing ourselves or our way unto ourselves, but be continually committing ourselves unto the Lord to die daily unto self and to live unto Jesus. Now in the scriptures today, we want to talk about the book of Micah. Micah was one who prophesied during the time that Isaiah prophesied, and he also prophesied to three of the kings that Isaiah prophesied to. Isaiah prophesied during the reign of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, and also Manasseh and Uzziah. Of course, now Micah prophesies during the time that Ahaz and Jotham and Hezekiah are ruling. Micah had not yet begun to prophesy during the time of Uzziah. But Micah's name means, who is like Jehovah? Micah, who is like Jehovah? He was one who prophesied to the southern tribe, Judah, the northern tribe, Ephraim, which is often called, and Israel, as it is often called, was not necessarily the focus of Micah's prophecy. But he did speak of Israel. He did speak of the north. He did have some messages and some words for those of the north. We can look at the book and see that it was concerned with, again, the sin of the people. When the prophets came on the scene, it was because the people had gone astray from the Lord. Now, if you will recall, we have talked about how the Lord led the people. First of all, he led them through a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham had a son, Isaac, who had sons, Jacob and Esau. And the patriarch Jacob had 12 sons, and these are still the head of their family. And they wind up going into Egypt. And there the Lord uses Moses to lead them out. And then as time went on, he brought them to a place to where the judges led the nation. And then they had a king. The king led them. The Lord uses the priests. And the prophets come on the scene. And they preach against the sin of the people. And Micah is one of those. And the sin of the people in Micah's day was idolatry. They worshiped things they'd made with their hands and things that had been made. They planned evil devices. They were guilty of the sin of covetousness. The prophets, the priests, and the princes, they were all guilty of being evil and vile and wicked to the people. The prophet Micah had to preach against that. And even the sin of witchcraft was there in the land as well. Another matter for which Micah had to preach against. Witchcraft, like Harry Potter and those kinds of things, are all sinful. And dishonesty and the matter of being just mistreating one another, treacherous. Those were matters that Micah had to deal with in his day. And you can see that the people of Micah's day are no different than the people of our day. The sins are still the same, and the heart of God is still the same against those sins. Heavenly Father, we ask for the blessings of the Lord today upon today's message and upon thy people who hear. May our lives be changed and that we will be brought into conformity to thy plan, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, let's continue in the book of Genesis now, in chapter 42. This is the chapter in which Joseph is now going to see his brothers, and a dream that he had is going to be fulfilled. Now, lest someone would say, so I thought you said that we're not to put any confidence in dreams, and here's a case where it is. I did say that. The Bible is our guide today. Use your Bible, read your Bible, believe your Bible, trust in the word of the living God. Joseph didn't have this. He didn't have the Bible. The Lord directed them through the prophets who preached, the priests who ministered, the kings who led. And now we have the Bible, which gives us a record of how they responded to the responsibility that the Lord had placed upon them. In the book of Genesis 42 now, verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, now the reason why he is having to look elsewhere is because there's a famine, a world famine, a famine throughout the land, and the people are in need of food. And their animals are in need of food. And so Jacob is saying to his sons, remember he had 11 left, for Benjamin was his youngest, and Joseph was the elder of his wife, Rachel. And he loved Benjamin more because Joseph was gone from him, and the last word he heard that Joseph was dead. So it never, from the wildest of his imaginations, could he ever hope. And he didn't have hope that maybe Joseph wasn't dead. Maybe Joseph wasn't eaten by a beast. He didn't have that hope because his own family had been the one who had come close to him, and we see that the way he responds later on. And so Jacob says, I have heard about there being corn in Egypt, so you go down and get some corn and bring it back up, some food, that we may live and not die. One of the strongest drives in the lives of men, women, and people is that of living. There are a few other drives that we have that will dominate the scene, but the one to live, you know, if you say you're going to stop breathing, you don't want to live, your body still struggles to breathe, still struggles to live. You say you're not going to eat, pain of hunger rushes in and drives you to do something. That's all a part of the life that the Lord has given, life. Stronger than death, and made so by the fact that Christ conquered death. Now, prior to the resurrection of Christ, death held men, and they couldn't come back out of it. But the Lord Jesus surrendered to it and came back out, and he's alive forevermore. And verse 3, and Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. Now, you can notice here also that these brothers are now faced with another favorite in the family. You know, they hated Joseph because he was the favorite of their father. And now the father has another favorite, Benjamin. The favorite replaced the former favorite. And so here is Joseph in Egypt, not knowing that his brother Benjamin is back with his father Jacob, and he is being cared for. I'm sure his thoughts went back there, but we saw earlier in chapter 41 that Joseph said, the Lord has made me forget my toil and all my father's house. I wonder how long, well, I don't need to even speculate. What I was going to say was, if Joseph ever had any plans, I want to go back and see what things are like back there in the home place. I don't know if he did, but he said earlier that the Lord had made him forget all of the pain that he had borne. And so he tells him to go back. There's corn there. We're going to be able to find food. And verse 5 of Genesis 42, and the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came for the famine. Was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor of the land. Remember, he's been exalted now. He's been prepared for this office. And Joseph was the governor of the land, over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. So the pain that he had experienced, the Lord had made him to forget that pain and given him grace to go on. But his memory and his knowledge of his brothers was riveted in his mind, and he could see them. He knew who they were. He saw their brethren, and he knew them, but he made himself strange. In other words, he disguised himself. He did not do anything out of the ordinary, but that, again, would be far from their wildest imagination that they would see their brother being the prime minister of Egypt and them having to bow down to him for food. Never could enter into their minds. See, God's ways are past finding out. You think you've figured out a matter and how it's going to work, and you are looking for the avenue of approach. You know, this is the way it's going to come. It's going to come this way, and the Lord has to answer this way, and this is the way it must be done. Well, just remember now, when God wanted a world, he didn't go shopping in any supermarket anywhere in the cosmic abyss out there. He didn't go looking for anything. He just made one. He spoke, came into existence. And when he wanted to place the world on something, he didn't look around for what kind of foundation he'd put it on. He just put it out there in space. Needed material, needed life on it, he put it there. And so you need to remember this. Whenever you are brought into a hard place and you think there is no way out, cast your mind, your eye back toward this matter of God's creation. God, the Creator, the God who made you, who made all things, will have you to look to him again and again, for his ways are past finding out. Even as the prophet Jeremiah said, Call unto me. Jeremiah recorded the words, and the Lord gave the invitation. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So your imagination cannot measure up to God's ways of working in a situation. And also, the Lord says his thoughts are so much higher than ours. We just can't even begin to figure out how he is going to work. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. So here they are before their brother. The last time they saw him, he was kicking, screaming, crying, grieved, heartbroken. And they were trying to kill him. And then they made a profit off of him, took some coins from the sale. Wonder what they bought with that. They buy some land, planted some grain, lived on it for a while, and now they're going to have to come back and get food from the one they sold into slavery. Oh, the Lord has a way of working things out, changing things. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art God and we are thy people. We pray for others to be born again, to become a part of the family of the living God. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Join us again for another program. I'm Willie Thompson.